WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Welcome to North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and we'll look at the news stories of the day in just a moment. We'll also check in with Andy Carboni, our baseball insider, following yesterday's Red Sox win. Talk about that and some other baseball news for you. We got a post up there today, a Bishop Fenwick student, former PBD resident, named like a Division III Player of the Week, or on the player on the D3 team, baseball team of the week from Salem State. That is up on our website today. And also, we got a few videos, and we'll tell you about those. But first, we'll say hi to Rick. How are you doing today?
Hi, Bill. Excellent, excellent. All is well. The snow is melting, and life is good.
You got it. Sunshine is out, at least for part of today. And our two videos today, we've got Seth Meyers from The Late Show talking about fossil fuel. It involves Bernie and Hillary. And then today is John Ratzenberger's birthday. You know John, right, Rick?
Was he the post office guy, or was he the
other
guy?
Yeah, he was Cliff. He was the post office guy.
And so everybody knows your name.
Yeah, everybody knows your name. It cheers. And that we have a little clip from Cliff Clavin, just a few seconds long, on his theories on beer. But it's his birthday today. Cliff Clavin is 69 years old today. So happy birthday, Cliff. So there you go. Nothing gets past us here. Nothing at all.
I know. It's amazing, Bill. You're amazing. You're on top of it all the time.
All right. Well, let me take a look at a couple of stories here. Let's begin first with Salem News today out of Danvers. This is from Ethan Foreman, and it's the pipeline becoming an issue for the state rep race. Well, we've done a number of different interviews this year and posted stories on this pipeline in West Peabody, or that goes through West Peabody. And let me just read the first couple of sentences and get you updated on that one. As a controversy over the proposed Kinder Morgan gas pipeline is heated up, so has the state rep race in the 13th Essex District, which includes Danvers and West Peabody. Bob Croce, a West Peabody resident, is seeking to unseat Danvers State Rep Ted Spiliotis, who is also chairman of the citizens group opposing the pipeline in Peabody. That also goes through Linfield and some other communities. So in particular, Croce has singled out Brian Hickey, founder and principal of the Boston lobbying firm Brian S. Hickey and Associates, for giving Spiliotis $200 in cash in each of the last 2 years. So there's a whole story there, but just a little brush, a little touch on what that's about. That'll be interesting to see if that has any impact. But Ted Spiliotis getting a challenge in that race. I'm going to jump to another story here, Rick. This is a follow-up. This is from Paul Layton, our friend Paul from Beverly. And Paul is got this story. You know, remember the social clubs and the gambling in Beverly? Well, let me just read this. They all got caught for this illegal gambling thing. It's been in the news a lot in the last several weeks. But the investigation into the illegal gambling of five Beverly social clubs has yielded their first two punishments. The Massachusetts Alcohol Beverages Control Commission last week suspended the liquor license of the Union Club indefinitely and gave the American Legion a five-day suspension. The Union Club likely received a harsher punishment due to the fact that it violated the terms of a suspension from 2012. For the same offense, and in its notice, the club and the ABCC said the suspension will stand until the other clubs. Not sure about other clubs, but at least a couple of those clubs seeing some suspensions on their liquor license. They were doing all the gambling, Rick, and the different running the betting and different things for probably just sports and stuff like that. But it's been going on for a while, but they got called on it.
It's hard to believe the things that you get caught on doing or whatever, or what's important to the state. I mean, come on. The state runs a freaking lottery commission. Hello?
Well,
and you can't do it. And you can't do a football pool, you know, in your private club. It's bizarre, Bill. I don't get it.
I think they were doing more than just a kind of a Super Bowl pool or something like that. Well, they're doing a weekly thing probably. I don't know the whole details, but
yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
know, I know. Yeah.
Like, yeah, the state can make billions, but hey, don't screw around with some private betting among friends.
Right, and now they're talking about, you know, there was a story about the sports betting and these different things, and I don't know. It just it's not totally related, but you never, you know, there's certain people drawing lines in certain places. You're right, but these social clubs definitely can't be doing that, I guess. So
yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. What are you? Do you want me to take over here for a second?
Yeah. What do you got up there in Gloucester?
Not much. Not much. But in Rockport, Dimitra Lavrakis writes in the Gloucester Times that the state appeals court has overturned an earlier decision ordering Rockport to hire police details and post signs at Long Beach. Town Administrator Linda Sanders said Tuesday that Judge Robert Cornetta's order of August 26 that ordered the hiring of details has now been vacated by Judge William Meade. And there has been an ongoing dispute among the owners of the properties on Long Beach versus Rockport, town of Rockport, and so on. And that's been going on for quite a while. Phil, if back for a second and look at the page. Manchester by his annual town meeting, and that's Monday night's Manchester by the Sea annual town meeting ran until almost 11 o'clock, and Tuesday's will probably continue to go as late as well. Selectmen and town voters have dealt with 13 of the 27 articles that were on the table Monday night, leaving 14 for Tuesday, according to town clerk Denise Semelchuk. So the Manchester by the Sea town meeting will be continuing tonight. This is what today is, April 6th, so that will be continuing in Manchester by the Sea.
All right, story in the front page of today's Daily Item, and kind of wondering about this one myself, because we've heard all the news about GE's corporate headquarters coming to Boston, and I think GE's biggest presence in Massachusetts is Lynn, if I'm not mistaken. It certainly was other places as well. I could be corrected on that, but Lynn, I believe, is their biggest presence in Massachusetts. And so there is a story in the item today written by Tom Grillo and Thor Jorgensen that Boston is not the only city that will benefit from the infusion of cash as General Electric prepares to move its headquarters to the city's Seaport District. While Boston will reap $50 million for its schools to build a diverse workforce and develop the next generation of healthcare workers, GE has also allocated $10 million to provide training, access to the company's manufacturing labs, and work opportunities for underserved populations outside of Greater Boston, including Lynn and Fall River. So that's probably good news for the city of Lynn and for the GE. And those companies, the manufacturing, different things like that, certainly have been shrinking over the last 25, 30 years or so when they were running pretty well, maybe 30, 40 years ago, but everything's downsized a little bit in those kinds of things. And, Rick, I think that's pretty – oh, here's one more thing, and talk about here. This is from Ethan Foreman in the Salem News. Danvers to crack down on texting while driving. So if you're passing through the town – in the coming weeks, take your thumbs and eyes off your smartphone. Danvers police are partnering with more than 200 law enforcement agencies and the state police to crack down on people texting behind the wheel. The initiative starts Friday. So if you got another day or two of texting in Danvers. And Danvers Police Department has signed on to the national You Drive, You Text, You Pay campaign to prevent distracted drivers. So anyways, that all starts April 8th. And you know, it seems like I've run across some statistics, and Rick, I don't know if we talked about this, but accidents are up, fatalities are up, right? Did I hear that right? And it's not because of alcohol, but it's more likely to be because of texting or what do you call that? Distracted driving, right?
Yeah.
From whatever.
The distractology thing was here a couple of weeks ago in Gloucester at the high school, and the texting is part of it, but it's also, you know, grabbing water, changing the radio station, talking on the phone, lighting a cigarette, whatever it might be. I don't understand why the smartphone people, whoever they might be, couldn't create an app that would shut your texting off when you get in the car. Turn the key, the ignition on, the texting goes off and you can't do anything. It seems to me that would be the way to go. I mean, I'll bet you the technology is there, but they'll never do it because that would probably mean you'd have to shut your phone off, which nobody wants to do, and a lot of people are using the phones, these handheld computers, as radios in your cars as well. But it seems to me there's got to be a way because people are not willing to put the texting down. There's got to be a way to shut that thing off when the car goes on.
Well, there is the technology to do some things, and right now I can't recall what it is, but Rick, I think in the newer cars, there's certain things you can't do on your phones once it's once the car is turned on and it's hooked in. So, you know, you can't. I know what it is. You wouldn't get a. Am I right? You wouldn't get the beep on the text. Does that sound right? In other words, I think that's true. Even in my car, which now is several years old, but it does hook up to the Bluetooth. But you won't hear the beep, so they won't tell you that you got a text message, which is. You know, makes some sense. I'm pretty sure that is the technology that's probably out there. There's lots of other things, and I know they've talked about things similar to what you're talking about, Rick, about the about things that they could do technically. Like I know in my car, I can't set the clock. You know, if I'm, you know what I mean. If I wanted to set my clock or change it, I can't do it if I'm driving or if the, you know, in other words, you have to be stopped and do it. And that makes sense too. You know what I mean. It's not like it's just a little thing you just adjust, but it would take some concentration and to some distraction to do that. So they won't let you do that anymore. So, but on the other hand, if you have that handheld phone, it's so tempting, I think, for people and certainly for kids to do it, to glance down on it and glance down at the phone and do that. But certainly it's good to get a story like that out there to at least get people thinking about that. And, you know, we all need kind of reminders on this kind of stuff. Well, Richard, I guess we have those are some of our news stories making the news today. And I think what we'll do is we'll step aside to a quick break. We'll come back. We've got Andy Carboni with us to talk some baseball. And then we've Kim Patience will be by looking at spring sports in Gloucester. But we also have our sports update. So stay with us right here on MSO News Sports and North Shore Today.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Monday nights at 7, it's North Shore Sports Night, the North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. MSONewsSports.com.
MSO News Sports Baseball Insider Andy Carboni joins us. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. And Andy, the Red Sox were 6-2 winners on Tuesday on opening day. It delayed one day out in Cleveland. And Andy, when they win, everything looks so good. The Sox got a home run from David Ortiz. Mookie Betts with a big one earlier in the game. And David Price pitches six innings and gives up the two runs and picks up the win.
Yeah, everything went according to plan today, that's for sure. Red Sox going to go 162-0 and cruise on into the playoffs. Everything looked great today, that's for sure. But, yeah. It was nice to see Price get out there. And, you know, he threw the ball pretty well. He struck out 10 over the six innings. I think the pitch count got a little high for him early on. He ran into a couple walks in a few situations, gave up some hits. But, you know, he came as advertised. That's the kind of outing you expect. Had some strikeouts with guys in scoring position with only one out, those type of performances. So that's definitely what you want to see. And then interesting note how the bullpen set up for today's game. Obviously with Carson Smith on the disabled list, the bullpen comes in as your 7th, 8th, 9th inning guys, Tozawa, Uehara, and Kimbrell. And they just shut the door. The only base runner was given up by Kimbrell. He walked a batter in the ninth. But in those three innings there, those three guys in the bullpen, they struck out five overall. So 15 strikeouts for Red Sox pitching today. And you mentioned the home runs by Ortiz and, again, by Mookie Betts. Betts with the home run today becomes the first player in Red Sox history under the age of 24 to 24 or under to hit home runs in back-to-back opening days. So that was a nice little side note to the whole performance, but no, so far so good.
I guess Yaz has the record for the most home runs by a Red Sox player on opening day, which was like five or six or something like that. So
interesting. Well, Mookie's on his way. Sure.
Yeah, no doubt. The other thing. What about the Brockholt actually got the hit that gave them the game winning run that drove in the game winning run. So he started out in left field today, but. Any thoughts on our the infield corners today, Andy, Ramirez and Shaw?
Well, defensively, there were no major issues. No errors were made. They handled whatever was came their way with no problems. But like you said, Holt with that big hit, he had two hits today. Shaw had two hits, and so did Hanley. So they all chipped in as well. And there were no signs of Pablo today. I did not see him in the dugout. I know he's there someplace, but I don't know where he was. But I'm sure him seeing Shaw get a couple hits is kind of set him back a little further in the depth chart.
Well, you know, on the television, they made the point how he's actually handled this all pretty well. One other note, Mookie Betts had a great catch out in center field today. So put all those things together. It was a big afternoon, I thought, for Mookie Betts and for the Red Sox.
Yeah, speaking of Mookie, one little thing that did happen today, he grounded into a double play.
Oh, yeah.
And they say he's obviously one of the hardest guys in baseball to do that, and he only grounded into two double plays all last year. So everything he did, he still even chipped in with a double play, so that was kind of interesting on the side note for Mookie.
So if we continue on this pace, last year he hit into two double plays. This year he will hit into 162 double plays.
Oof, imagine that.
What's wrong with this guy?
Got to get rid of him.
No. All right, well, you know, Andy, they'll continue the series. Two more games Wednesday and Thursday, both 6:10 p.m. starts and so on. Well, I want to pick up on a couple of other things, just kind of Red Sox related. In the Sunday sports column, the baseball column, the Nick Cafardo piece in the Sunday Globe, he mentioned, a number of different players, 20 ready-to-emerge players. Three of them are Red Sox players. So these are 20 ready-to-emerge players. One of them, Blake Swihart, the catcher, Joe Kelly, pitcher, and Jackie Bradley Jr., who also, I think he had one hit today, right? I think he scored the first run, if I'm not –
Yes,
no,
yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so those are the three players that he mentioned. So put that into context. Pick any one of them or all of them, whatever you want to do, Andy.
Well, I'll agree with two out of the three. I'll agree that obviously we know what Jackie Bradley did the second half of last season. He's a great defensive player. There's no arguing there. There's a question, can he keep the bat alive? Had a good spring training and got a hit today. Any kind of production you can get out of Jackie in the ninth hole of the lineup, you know, that's all gravy. So I think he's definitely an up-and-coming. I don't argue that question at all. Swihart, obviously, he comes as advertised as being a more of an offensive type catch, not a power hitter, but he's a guy that's going to hit for average and, you know, not be the automatic out that sometimes catchers could be. Just the question is going to be when Christian Vasquez is ready, what does that do with Swihart's playing time and that whole agenda? But that is still going to be played out. I don't agree on the Joe Kelly. Yeah, great. He looked good the second half of last year, playing in games that didn't mean anything, and he did great in spring training, but his career has been so up and down. He's had plenty of time to prove himself in Major League Baseball. He's not a rookie or a young player like Swihart and Bradley. So I think what you've seen in the past is what you're going to get from Kelly. He's going to give you maybe a couple nice outings, and the next time out he could blow up for giving up 5-6 runs. Prove me wrong, Joe. But I just don't think he's going to be a breakout player in 2016.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it happens, but he's not on that curve. I would tend to agree with you on that. Finally, well, one other thing here, a couple of other things. We want to talk about opening day, some notes out of opening day. But first, in that same page, Nick Cafardo writes about 50 most important players, and the number one player is Mike Trout, the outfielder with the Angels, as, again, most important. Your take?
I agree with that statement. I think he's the best overall player in baseball right now, offensively, defensively. He's a complete package. He's a very quiet guy. He handles himself correctly, doesn't cause any problems off the field. He's a good face for baseball, and there's no question that he's the number one player.
All right, opening day. There's always things happening, records being set from time to time. We haven't had a no-hitter on opening day yet this year, but a couple of interesting things have happened. So share those with us, Andy.
Two notes from yesterday which I thought were pretty interesting. The first of which was Colorado Rockies shortstop Trevor Story. Made his Major League debut last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks and in their big off-season free agent acquisition, Zach Greinke. And what did he do? He decided, I'm going to hit two home runs in my first Major League game. So he's the first player in Major League Baseball history to have two home runs on opening day in his Major League debut, so that was quite impressive. And if you go back and check the highlights, the home run he hit the left field was at least 450 feet. The thing was just absolutely crushed. And another little side note, which was kind of interesting, the Giants center fielder, Denard Span, he had 5 RBIs as a leadoff hitter yesterday, and it's the first time on opening day that a player has driven in 5 runs. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Andy, I got one other note from today's game. The home plate umpire and the calls that he was making, I mean, throughout the game, he was consistent, but consistently bad on calling pitches that were outside, that were balls, obviously balls on the strike cam, balls and strike cam, the strike zone cam. But calling them strikes repeatedly. Players didn't even get mad after a while. They just started smiling as they walked away from this guy.
Yeah, that was
what happened?
I think the home plate umpire probably had early dinner reservations, and the fact that it was, you know, 30 degrees at game time with the wind chill, he probably just wanted to keep the game moving and expanded his strike zone a little bit. But there's no question they were plenty of balls in a regular game that you'd see come June or whatnot that were called strikes today.
Well, the game, you wanted to move along, so whatever. And the Red Sox win, so all's right with us anyway. So, yeah, I don't think, as they say, even though there's like 50, 60 balls in strike count, maybe not that many, balls and strike calls, those 50 calls didn't decide the game, I don't think. How about that?
No.
All right. Well, Andy, good talking with you, and we'll check back next week.
Sounds good, Bill.
Our baseball insider, Andy Carbone, with us on MSO New Sports.
MSO Radio. North Shore Now. News and sports. Josh Arnold's Trending Now.
What do you think of the presidential primaries now? I mean, it's you know, we've made it this far along. Any sense of how it's... do you see anything coming out of this other than a Trump-Clinton square-off in November?
Trending Now with Josh Arnold on MSONewsSports.com.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. Let's take a look at sports here, local sports. And Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And Rick, it looks like some changes in the by the way, just ahead, Kim Patience will be by. She's talked with Tim Kearns about spring sports in Gloucester. But winter sports will have some new faces on the sidelines this winter, Rick, in Gloucester.
Yeah, well, and plus, it's widely held that Kim Patience will be leaving her athletic director's position after this year as well. So there could be a change there as well, if she hasn't already announced that. But, basketball, interesting that both basketball coaches at the high school, the varsity coaches, are leaving. Coach Bill Cahill is the winningest coach in Gloucester High School basketball history with 129 victories. Also six tournament visits. I believe he's gone 4 or 5 years in a row now to the tournament, which has been great. But Coach Cahill said, you know, he's met his objectives. He's done everything he wants to do, and it's time for a change for him. And he is strongly endorsing Chris Silvera. Bill, and you might remember Chris Silvera was a big center at Salem State. He's been an assistant coach at Gloucester High School for a while. He has successfully battled cancer. He is teaching at the high school, and he's a Salem State Hall of Famer. And he has been a very popular young man and a very, very nice guy as well. So Coach Cahill is hoping that Chris gets the job as the varsity coach. And on the other side, Lori Sanborn was at Gloucester High School for 3 years, and she has decided to leave the program as well. No idea, I haven't seen any names pop up as to who might be her successor, but big changes at Gloucester High School.
Yeah. Well, and there's, let's see here, locally, let's take a look. There were some baseball games scheduled for today. I don't know. I know one of them for sure got canceled. That was the Beverly Masconomet game. And they will now be playing their varsity game Saturday at 3 o'clock at Balch Field in Beverly. That's a reschedule due to the cold and snow that we have. However, we understand that there is lacrosse today where Masconomet is playing at Marblehead this afternoon. I think that's a 4 o'clock game on Wednesday the 6th here. And I think right now, let's jump over. Tim Kearns talking with Kim Patience, athletic director at Gloucester High School, looking at spring sports numbers, and in particular, to begin the discussion with boys lacrosse.
Well, we're down in numbers for boys lacrosse, which we're just holding steady at 18, 19, 20 boys. That's just a varsity program only. And so we've got to take a look and investigate what's going on with the younger levels. Although I'm noticing that it is across the Northeast Conference that everyone is down on some boys lacrosse. Girls lacrosse numbers look well. We have actually two new coaches in place. We've built a whole new coaching staff under the girls lacrosse program due to the retirement of Meg McLaughlin from last year. We actually got a former foe. Mike Ladoff is coaching the boys girls program, and he's the head coach for the girls lacrosse with his assistants Brian Anderson, John Fosbury, and Anna Oshiro, which are all Gloucester former players of ours. So it's exciting to see them take on the girls team and really hope to develop that program strong.
You know, they also have a very close tie with the Gloucester football program. So I hope I don't look out there someday and see them doing tackling drills.
No, absolutely not. But I know it's a challenge for them to use that whole field and really develop their coaching skills in a new sport. And I know that when you have coaches that are willing to try a new technique or a new sport, you get a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. So it's a good spark for the girls program. It's a learning curve for everyone. The only experienced player out there, coach, is Anna Oshiro, coming back from her college playing day. So we're happy to have all of them. At one point 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I had no coaches in place for girls lacrosse. So I'm very pleased that that's all filled in and taken shape.
Numbers across the other sports.
Baseball is back up in numbers a little bit. We had to do an eighth grade waiver last year. This year we didn't. Girls softball is down in numbers. We had to do an eighth grade waiver to get enough for the freshman program. So those numbers are low. Girls tennis is up, and boys tennis has numbers this year. So a lot of kids are trying out the other sports, and track and field has good numbers. So it's the boys lacrosse and a little bit of girls softball. Still weak in those areas, and across the conference, girls softball, freshmen, there's a real glitch in that area. I only have 8 scheduled games right now for freshman girls softball, so that hurts.
Have you, as ADs across the conference, talked about this down in numbers and how it might be addressed?
Well, you know, you try to be creative and help each other out and schedule more games than usual so that you have fill a schedule. We try to reach over to the KPN League and have them fill games for us. But again, you're looking at a freshman program that you don't want to do a lot of traveling, but you need to get those games in for the experience. So I would feel bad if it was just us, but across the board, it's across the board in girls softball. And it's the second year this has happened. So girls programs, we need a lift. We need something in the lower levels to really spark a continuous effort to play sports at high school level.
All right, Ken, anything further on spring sports here at Gloucester High?
Well, we're looking for some great hosting the Northeast Conference girls and boys track meet here on a big Saturday. So we'll host all the NEC schools who come visit us in May. Obviously, we got a lot of games at the stadium for lacrosse and baseball. You've got a great schedule to follow, and with later games in the later season, you can get some night games for the boys' baseball program. Another great opportunity is the girls' varsity softball will hopefully open up their new christened field with some fencing, dugouts, scoreboard. A lot of work went into that due to John Nicastro's movement, and he has really put a lot of effort into making it a home field for girls' varsity softball. So that's going to be exciting to kick that off as a grand opening for them, get the scoreboard running. They got a beautiful batting cage right behind them now. So they've made themselves a home here at Gloucester High School, and that's exciting for the girls program.
Great, Kim. That's been Kim Patience, the athletic director here at Gloucester High School for MSO New Sports. I'm Tim Kearns.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. Tim Kearns with Kim Patience, and I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and that'll do it for us here on North Shore Today. So thanks so much for being with us on the program, and do check back and follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports, and check out our Facebook page at MSO News Sports, and you can always email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Notice the little theme, a little hint how to get in touch with us. It's MSO News Sports, Rick. That's how it is, I guess.
Pretty good, Bill. Pretty good. I almost have that down now after 8 months.
Exactly. It's getting there. Getting there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a great day, and we'll be back again tomorrow right here on MSONewsSports.com.
MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.